Welcome to the Hyper Voice, episode 147. This is a show all about Pokemon's Video Game Championship Series. I am your host, Steven Morioka, and I am here with Alex Underhill.
What's up?
Hey there, Alex. Well, it's been almost a full year of this show in Season 4, and I am happy to announce that we have finally reached our Season 4 finale for the show. This encompasses episodes 106 through this episode 147. So this is again another period of time for this show.
Yeah, we break it up into seasons, but it doesn't really mean anything. It's just kind of like sections of, you know, it mostly follows the like IRL like circuit season, but again, that doesn't exist right now, so it's all just kind of nonsense.
Yeah, it's really just a way to help us keep organized all our show and then when all these took place. But Alex, one of the big facts about this season of the show is we did all of season four online in the COVID era, both like recording wise as well as just like where competitive Pokemon was at. Everything was pretty much held online with those few spare live events around the world or grassroots locals.
Yep.
So That's our announcement for the Season 4 finale here. We're going to get going. We have some fun topics to talk about here. And then we're going to wrap up the show for this season. So, Alex, let's get started with an event that was held over this past weekend. Let's see. Those dates would have been August, 21st and 22nd, I think? Something like that. And the...
What format was it, Steven? What format?
Yeah, that's a great point. That was apparently Series 9, a Series 9 tournament during the Series 10 time period, but that's okay. You know, people still want to be playing in the Series 9 format, officially, I guess, too. But this is the Pokemon Trainers Cup 2021 in Korea. Now, we are looking at these results on the Liquipedia.net page for competitive Pokemon in the South Korea, so just look up that section. We have the top four teams here. And the winner is going to go to the global exhibition, which we're going to talk about a little bit later on, just, you know, summarizing what we know about that thing coming up. But Alex, let's get into this Korea Trainers Cup tournament and what you thought about, what do you think about this still being Series 9, though?
Yeah, that was a little bit funny just because, you know, now we're really wondering what is even the official format, you know, we've seen more Series 9 tournaments in August than we have seen Series 10 tournaments, at least on the official scale. You know, we had another global exhibition, the 25th anniversary tournament, you know. But that was like the only Series 10 tournament by like official TPC, I Play Pokemon, Game Freak, whatever you want to say. Whereas we've had, what, the Asia, the announcement, I guess, of the Asia Players Cup tournament, which is going to be in Series 9, and then we have this tournament here, which is Series 9. Yeah, it's just all a bit of a confusing mess.
That's where I was going to go with it next, is like, it's all just very confusing. You know, we have multiple formats in play at the moment right now for some of these tournaments, and the online is all Series 10 on the official Battle Stadium ladder. So it's a really strange time. But, Alex, let's get into the champions team. This player goes by the username Rio, so that is R-E-O, and apparently this is just the player Wonsuk Jung. So this is a person who we have seen Top Cut Worlds before, you know, Top Cut several of the Korean events prior as well. And this team here is, again, something we probably heard this composition before, but we have an Urshifu, I'm not sure which form that is, Rotom Heat, Venusaur, Landers Therian, Registeel, and Grimmsnarl. So Alex, we do have a link here. It's for the some sort of an export here, so let's take a look at what we know.
It is, in fact, Urshifu Water. And, yeah, something that, like, you know, again, I always do a double take, and I think it's just funny. Whenever there's a Venusaur on the team, my mind automatically fills in Torkoal, especially if there's already another fire type. But no, this is a Venusaur with no sun support. Does have the Koba Berry and, you know, all the moves that you'd probably expect. Grass, poison, ground coverage with an extra grass move probably being Sleep Powder. This is, again, in Korean that As far as I know, Steven and I can't translate. And, yeah, otherwise, you know, a lot of these choices, this is like Trick Eject Button Grimmsnarl, you don't see that too often. Sash Urshifu, the standard Iron Defense Body Press set on the Registeel, and a Life Orb Landorus. Yeah, a lot of, like, pretty common picks for most of these Pokemon, but overall still a pretty interesting team. You know, they have the Venusaur without Sun. They have that actually, the Urshifu Water was what tripped me up on it, Steven. I was like, man, who runs Urshifu Water on Sun? And I was like, this isn't even Sun. There's no Sun here.
Right, yeah, it's just, it's like you mentioned, that inclination to see Venusaur and be like, oh yeah, that's gonna be on Sun. There's gonna be Torkoal right next to it. But the fire type in this case is just a Rotom Heat. And we, in the Series 9-7 format, we did see some teams with Venusaur just being on its own without needing to necessarily have Torkoal right next to it. It is still operationally a very good Pokemon on its own. You know, it has its G-Max form, can set up the Vine Lash, and otherwise solid typing, and helps to complete the Firewater Grass core on this team as well.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it is very good at just being a really good max Pokemon. The damage over time moves are still so powerful. And if you go up against an opposing Sun team, it's really going to shine there. And yeah, other than that, we've got some other teams to cover here. Crystal was the runner-up. But there was actually a tweet somewhere around here that had all of the teams, or all of the players' names. Let me see if I can find that one so we can just read them all off. This was Crystal, who is Jungso Lee. I hope I pronounced that correctly. They had a team of Tapu Fini, Entei, Metagross, Zapdos, Porygon2, and Incineroar. And then the third place player was Nash, who it goes by, or Nash is Sengyin Na. Ooh, I'm really sorry if I'm butchering these. Sengyin Na. Has a team of Urshifu, Moltres Galar, Rillaboom, Colossal, Registeel, and Incineroar. And I'm just going to go ahead and make the assumption this is Urshifu Water, considering it is on a Colossal team.
I would as well.
And this this team actually is like, you know, the Wolf build of Colossal, but the Dragapult has been replaced with a Registeel, which really, really, really points to this being Urshifu Water. Otherwise, there would be no other water move on the team to activate Colossal. So, it has to be Urshifu Water. Or, maybe they're just, you know, that crazy at team building. Now, lastly, we have... this is, I think, Joan Kim. With a team of Moltres Galar, Urshifu. Again, I don't know the form for sure. Sableye, Regieleki, Celesteela, and is that a Frostmoth?
That is a Frostmoth on there. That's crazy.
This was Urshifu Water. I did actually go ahead and open up the paste here, and yeah, the Frostmoth even has, I think that's Never Melt Ice. It is also has some type of rock move, which I can only assume is Wide Guard. Since I do know that the Pokemon learns that, it's a Trick Eject Button, Sableye, Life Orbs, Regieleki, and a lot of other standard picks on this team. Yeah, but overall, these are, especially the Colossal team and the second place team, the, you know, Tapu Fini team, these are teams that are pretty common, I think, in the Series 9 metagame. You know, the Crystal's team was basically just good stuffs. You know, it was four legendary Pokemon, Porygon2, and Incineroar, all Pokemon that just do very well in a Dynamax metagame, and then a Colossal team in third place. The Frostmoth team is far from typical, you know, with the Sableye there, kind of maybe taking a page out of the Japan National Winners book. You know, they had that really cool Sableye team. And yeah, otherwise, Steven, if there's nothing else to say about the teams, I wanted to talk a bit about the tournament, just because it had multiple stages to it. Apparently there was like preliminaries back in July, which was best of three double elim. This top four finals was best of three and double elim, and the winner is also getting a 2022 Worlds day one invite. I wanted to bring that part up specifically because is that Have we gotten confirmation which day is which? I know we're always arguing about which one's day one and maybe there's a day zero or not.
So, yeah, I think with specifically that world's invitation for that day. So I think it's just the community in general that likes calling that Thursday as day zero. And you know, people keep it as day one Friday, day two Saturday because of the old stipend and travel award race. So I think from Pokemon's terms, they haven't officially declared anything yet on the pages yet because it's probably still too far out. But if anything, from their standpoint, I would have to assume that day one is Thursday to them and day two is Friday to them.
I'm agreeing with you on this. I can't imagine that they would just call it day one and they have a pass straight to Friday. But that also feels a little bit cheaper than, you know, past world's invites. You know what I mean? Like, I guess, yeah. Like, certain tournaments, you know, would, like, reward you a day two pass. You know, like, Japan Nats winning that, I think, sometimes gets you a day two pass. And you're like, wow, that's a really strong reward. And then a lot of the rest of the cut would get the day one invite. But this is a little bit more of a confusing time that we're in because is day one just going to be Thursday? That's really not much. I mean, I guess if they have no other way to qualify, you definitely take it. You know, I imagine South Korea will have some more events between now and whenever we see Worlds again. But yeah, I don't know. I'm just trying to see if I can get there's no more clarification, but it's very interesting.
Yeah, we do not have an official clarification. I again think just the community at large likes calling Thursday day zero. I'm again in the camp that Thursday is day one. I think Pokemon probably would be as well. But along those lines about just the, you know, maybe the prize is only that first day of competition is how, you know, we're still like, what, a year out from a Worlds if we were to have one. And you know, I think this is fine because all the regions across the world who could have events, you know, Japan, South Korea, the rest of our rating zones that we have, that TPCI, you know, kind of has jurisdiction over, and the Asia-Pacific region as well, they can all still have events that can award players, you know, further advancement through the days, you know, maybe day two, perhaps even day three if the tournaments are going to go that far or qualification goes that far this season, end of the season. So there's still time for all that, and these are very nice prizes to have, of course, to know you've locked in that invitation so that you can go to London, play in Worlds there, and regardless, the best players out of these, the cream of the crop here, they're going to make their way through that competition, no matter how long it's going to take.
Of course. Other than that, I don't know if there's any other parts of the tournament I really wanted to mention besides, I guess, you know, the global exhibition. You know, the winner here, Won Suk Jung, is going to be, they have earned themselves a spot in the global exhibition coming later in October.
Right.
As we've talked about before, we know, you know, the likely four. I don't know if this was officially confirmed anywhere, Steven, you know, if Pokemon themselves have said anything about it, but they stated it in the, I guess, like, definition of the tournament that the top players from each region would be qualified from Players Cup 4 would qualify for the global exhibition. And we broke those down in a previous episode. You know, Latin America will be sending Renzo Navarro. Europe will be sending Leonardo Bononami. North America will be sending Enrique Grimaldo, and Oceania will be sending Luke Ayule. We talked about these before, and again, I think, I don't know, Steven, back me up here. Has it not been officially confirmed anywhere? Is this still just like our most popular theory?
So this is, again, just stuff, the news I ripped from VGC Victory Road's page about the global finals from Players Cup 4. And I believe because that was listed there, I think this is kind of showing that you and I didn't do our research or homework as well in watching that stream per se. But I feel like that they probably announced at some point during that global final stream, these are the four players that will be advancing into the global exhibition.
That's fair.
So I think that was probably in there. Again, not 100% sure, but I would say if Victory Road has it, I'm pretty confident that that was probably announced officially in some capacity in that way.
Yeah, it might have been just confirmed on that stream. Okay. So then, moving down the line, you know, that's four of the players. Where are the remaining four coming in? As they have confirmed that it's going to be eight players. So two of them will be coming from the Asia Players Cup. The two finalists, the winner and the runner-up, will earn themselves a spot in the Global Exhibition. That is a tournament that I don't even believe has kicked off yet. I think that it's going to start its first stage, like, this weekend, maybe.
That's right.
The online competition aspect of it. And then they'll go along and do all the stages that we're kind of familiar with, I think. We talked about it last week, and things are a little bit more confusing over there because, like, their regions are broken up differently. It's like a single region Players' Cup, but at the same time, it's representing six countries. And so they're going to get two spots from there. That's going to be in Series 9 as well. And it, yeah, is yet to reach completion. So we don't know who's going to be coming from that. We have, you know, the Korea Trainers Cup champion, Won Suk Jung. And then lastly, we have the winner of Japan Nationals, Kohei Fujita. They won Japan Nats like about over a month ago. And will be representing Japan in the Global Exhibition in October.
Right, so this is the eight players that will probably be showing up in that Global Exhibition. Again, we'll wait for October to see what that actually is going to be like. So, yeah, they did confirm it was eight, right? It's not going to be bigger than that, I don't think.
Yeah, I had the article open earlier, but I closed it. But I'm almost certain, I'm checking it now, that it said, yeah, it says... this thrilling tournament will feature eight of the best Pokemon Sword and Shield players from around the world. Competitors will include the highest ranking players from each of the four regions participating in Players Cup 4 Global Finals. And then it says Europe, North America, Latin America, and Oceania. So, as we had mentioned earlier, it's probably just the four, and that's probably already been confirmed. They will be joined by other incredible players from around the world, including players from Japan. I guess that's like, if we want to read too much into this, Steven, you know, it does say including players with an S from Japan.
Uh-huh.
And that would imply more than one. Right now in our current list, we have just one player from Japan, one player from Korea, and two coming from the Asia Players Cup. Yeah, I don't know. It could just be that they didn't have all the details ironed out at the time of writing this short little blurb.
Yeah.
But, again, I don't think it's too... I don't want to read too much into it saying players versus a player or something like that, especially when the person writing this might not have had all the details.
Yeah, I honestly bet they didn't. And I know we're just drilling down on the semantics here, but... this is, again, a tournament that you nor I will be playing in, so they can do whatever they want.
I know. That's the other thing, is that, like, I have not been following, you know, the Global Exhibition so closely because, you know, I didn't make it into it, and it's not a tournament that I'm going to get to do anything with. It'll be another stream event to watch when the time comes around, but it's months off. And we'll save it for then. If there's anything else to talk about it between now and then, you know, maybe, but...
there is one question to ask about the Global Exhibition. So, that baby is going to be going up in October, right? So, they're going to play probably at least a week or 2 weeks in advance. Regardless on that timing, that's the last month of Series 10, because that ends October 31st. What format are they playing for that tournament?
Oh, yeah, I mean, like, it is in Series 10, but, you would think Series 10, but with the number of tournaments, like, you know, especially, you know, they're going to be taking players from Japan Nationals, Korea Nationals, I mean, like, actually, not. I'm completely wrong here, Steven. Every single player that is qualifying for this got there through Series 9. Am I not incorrect there?
I think that would be true.
And what's funny is, like, that doesn't sound that surprising until you, like, realize that many of these were played after Series 10 went live, you know? Like, the four players that are qualifying from Players Cup 4, they played Series 9, and it was actually, it was streamed, like, wasn't it, like, the first week of August? Or was that the other tournament?
That was the other tournament, so yeah,
that was the 25th Invitational?
Yeah.
When was Players Cup 4 streamed, finally?
So, yeah, Global Finals was streamed last weekend of July, like into August 1st. So it was the, I think, 30th, 31st, and August 1st.
Okay. So then they, the Sunday was August 1st. Okay. So they barely fit that one in, but that was, in fact, Series 9. And then, yeah, everything else is basically, like, Series 9 being played in the month of August. No, Japan Nationals was Series 9 during Series 9, was it not? Yeah. They did that one right, too. But, again, the point I'm trying to drive home here is that they're all playing Series 9, but going to be playing in Series 10 in the Global Exhibition. Maybe. I don't know, man. We really don't know. They've been going back and forth, and something that Steven and I were kind of talking about off-air before the show that we wanted to make sure we brought up here is that Series 10 is almost getting the Series 6 treatment. We've seen just one tournament from, you know, the official capacity run in Series 10, the 25th Invitational?
Yep.
Players Cup 25th Invitational. And then, you know, Asia Players Cup yet to come, but already confirmed to be Series 9. Korea, this Trainers Cup 2021 is Series 9. We're really just kind of wondering, you know, what is the official format at this point? You know, Series 6 was like, okay, this is the format, but then either they goofed or they didn't goof when they made the IC, the qualifier for Players Cup 2, the online competition, Series 5. And then from there, Series 6 got no official tournaments, and it definitely hurt the interest of that format a lot. Series 10 already kind of has waning interest, maybe for different reasons, but I think one thing for sure is that there's no official tournaments for it that anybody can participate in. An important detail there, Steven, you know, we were just mentioning this about the Global Exhibition, is that we can't play in that. The Players Cup Invitational, 25th Invitational, that nobody can play in that. Nobody at all, except for those world champions and such.
Mm-hmm.
So, on the official capacity, Series 10 is just the current ladder format, as Series 6 was, but nobody's had any chance to play in it in an official state, in an official capacity for the entire month of August so far.
Yeah, that is true. That's just the weird state in competitive Pokemon that we're in right now, and, you know, that makes you think back to a year ago when Players Cup 2 was being announced and how that's series for that online competition was Series 5 in the middle of Series 6. You know, looking back, I'm not so sure that was a mistake anymore, the way things have been shaping up. But, you know, mm-hmm. just to recap for any of the newer players who maybe just got into competitive Pokemon, Series 6 was a format where it was just Series 5, but with the top 10 Pokemon. Was it top 10 or 20? Top 10, right?
Top 10 from both singles and doubles.
Got
so
it.
It was like 16, I can't remember. Like, there was overlap, but then, I don't know.
Right, so it was those Pokemon banned from that format. That's what Series 6 was. That did have Dynamax. You know, Series 9 was our national dex right now with Dynamax, and then Series 10 is the pretty much national Pokedex with a restricted legendary allowed, only one, and no Dynamax. So, quick recap on those formats, but yeah, Series 10 is just, it's kind of waning away, not necessarily because of a fault of the format in and of itself, because it's a fun one. Like, you get the restricted legendary, you get no Dynamax, which people were just clawing and crying for all these last year. We finally got it, and then there's nothing, you know, really motivating anybody to play it right now. So, we gotta give it some time. Maybe we'll get some kind of announcement soon, but that's all I got to say about that. Really, Alex.
It's funny, I can't imagine how many times on the 25th Invitational stream, again, I didn't watch the thing in full, how many times they had to mention that Dynamax is banned. You know, can you imagine how many times the viewers were like, why are they Dynamaxing? You know, where's the Dynamax?
Right.
You know, so often the Twitch chat is uninformed on what is going on, and so they're probably just waiting, you know? They're like, oh, they all have legendaries? Okay, it's one of those legendary formats, sure. But then they're just waiting for the Dynamax. They're like, this is just Series 8 again. Well, anyway.
To be fair, since the start of 2020, all the viewers of competitive matches were conditioned to expect Dynamax in these games.
That's what I'm saying. And so these people are just like, the Pokemon aren't going big. I thought that was the whole point of playing on Sword and Shield. Why aren't the Pokemon going big?
Anyway. let's get to one more, I guess, quote and phrase that came from last week's Pokemon Presents that was pertinent to all of us competitive players here. Alex, do you want to run us through the quote and then we can talk about that?
Yeah, yeah. So this isn't new news. It's just Steven and I, like, were, you know, dancing around a little bit of uncertainty. And so I wanted to go back to the Pokemon Presents and actually just type out the quote from the presentation as to what they said about, you know, competitive Pokemon going forward. The quote reads, "As for the ranked battles that so many of you continue to enjoy, these will take place as before in Pokemon Sword and Pokemon Shield. We hope you all have fun participating in even more competitive play in the future."
All right, then. So that is pretty much the line from the Pokemon Presents. And as they're saying, you know, it pretty much indicates that our any VGC competitive Pokemon is going to be staying on Sword and Shield. I don't know if Brilliant Diamond or Shining Pearl even have infrastructure for those online battles. I think you can have online battles and stuff, but maybe there won't be any sort of ranking or ladder system for it. So this is, again, something we had wondered throughout the whole summer. You know, what's the future of competitive Pokemon with these new games coming out? So all things lead to us staying on Sword and Shield in Galar, and probably in Galar for Worlds in London next year, if even that happens.
You know, like, I really wanted to go to Diamond and Pearl. I've seen most opinions from, like, the VGC community saying, like, they're a little bit sad and ready to leave Sword and Shield and the game's gonna die and blah, blah, blah. However, like, there have been some other people that have, like, somewhat opened my eyes. Like, I still would have loved to have moved out to Diamond and Pearl, but if Sword and Shield continues to get some type of support, the game could definitely continue to grow on this platform or whatever. You know, like, they'll have the casual fans playing Diamond and Pearl, but the, like, for the most part, the competitive players can still play the game on Sword and Shield as long as we get something. You know, like, I don't want them to just keep doing this whole, like, well, let's find a different way that we can spin this format because they have to change it every 3 months. You know, like silly dex restrictions or just like every combination of adding restricted and banning Dynamax until we've done everything and banning 10 Pokemon and whatever. But if they like actually give us like, you know, another dex expansion, another DLC, if, you know, say those Pokemon that are added in Legends Arceus can be transferred to Sword and Shield through home, we could definitely see some fun stuff happen in Sword and Shield still, as long as they find ways to shake up the game that aren't just, let's tweak the rule set a little bit.
Yeah, I'm glad you elaborated some more on all of that, because that is a big key difference that people would, I think, love to see in Sword and Shield, is having more of the Pokemon from the rest of the Pokédex actually join the game, maybe get another pack of downloadable content, that DLC, for like casual players to just enjoy the game some more. And for us competitive players, that will likely mean, oh, more another section of the game, probably more Pokemon added into the Pokedex. And that could, there are a lot of Pokemon missing that could potentially still shake up the, you know, formats and the metagame significantly, regardless of whether it's like with restricted legendaries or not, even with Dynamax or not. And I think that'd be really exciting just to keep Pokemon Sword and Shield alive just throughout the next year, because if we still have Worlds next year, I think we'll still have a decently strong viewership because it is just Pokemon. They have that pull being that big brand name, but it's the competitive players who, you know, we're just hoping to introduce to the game, get into the game, and still retain from all of this lost time and potential when we've stayed online for so long now.
Yeah, I'm very much worrying about player retention. You know, all the people that got in during the pandemic era might quickly lose interest if we don't get something to spice things up soon. And, I mean, I'm also in the camp of, like, losing interest, you know, just in the, I don't know. I haven't loved the whole, like, change formats all the time thing. And I think a large part of that could just be that Dynamax formats don't age well. You know, I've probably said this on the podcast a couple of times now, but I find that the Dynamax formats, they quickly become stale just because there was just so much power behind certain Dynamax Pokemon that the format often revolved around like two or three of them, and the teams were slight variations on that, on top of the gameplay being like, you know, pretty offensive, pretty quick paced because of the nature of Dynamax. But that aside, I do think that we need to like something more to keep the game going, especially keep those players that are a fan of the 3 month cycle to keep the game from just kind of like, you know, waiting away or whatever, dying off because the formats are just all going to become too samey.
Yeah, I feel you there. I mean, I haven't even really touched the game in several months. Way back to the winter, even, I'm sad to admit. That's that with competitive Pokemon and like where I'm at right now. And that almost ties into our big announcement for later. But before we get into that announcement, Alex, I just want to ask you before I start running over our guest list from this past season, any last thoughts on competitive Pokemon staying on Sword and Shield?
No, if there's anything else to say about it, it might come as part of the later announcement. Oh no, hopefully we're not hinting at it. Let's go ahead and talk about that guest list, Steven.
Let's do it. So, as we always do for our season finales, we just like to acknowledge all of our amazing guests who came on the show, spent their time and energy into and investing in us in just being a part of this show to help entertain all the listeners out there, help and also entertain us, which is very nice, and in many cases also fill in for us, in I think all cases this season, me. So I just want to go over these names here. Thank you to Aaron Trailer, Adi Supermanian, Alessio Yuri Boschetto, Alyssa Smith, Arcel Puri, Colin Heyer, Donald Smith Jr., Alisa Salami, Enosh Shahar, John Hu, Kimo Nishimura, Kyle Geffner, Matthew Varive, Nick Navarre, Nick Safranik, Rajan Ball, and Santino Tarquinio. Thank you to all of our guests here who appeared on the show this past year of our season 4 of the show. So it means the world to us. We thank you so much for your time, and we hope the listeners, you have enjoyed all of their opinions and the episodes with them too. And we're looking forward to more guests in the future, of course.
Yeah, thanks to all the guests for all the knowledge and expertise they brought to the show.
So yeah, it is pretty great. And Alex, I guess we do have to get into our big announcement at the end of this episode, 147, as well as the end of this season 4. So what's to come for season 5 is, I guess, what we have to talk about now. But I think the big thing we just need to announce and just roll with it and see where this conversation takes us is that we here on the Hyper Voice are going on hiatus. We're going on a bit of a break right now.
Yeah, we're going to be, taking a bit of time off because, you know, the content has been rolling in very slowly. We honestly didn't have a whole lot to talk about in this episode. We definitely did our best. I think we had some fine stuff to talk about, but a lot of it's repeated conversations, content, and whatnot, because, you know, there isn't enough going on in competitive Pokemon right now. Steven and I definitely could continue to cover, you know, the weekly Rose Tower online tournaments that are always happening, but, you know, they just grow stale when that's basically our every week. And, you know, the thought is that if they, basically, we're just hoping that, you know, something happens soon. We're not sure when the official Pokemon circuit will kick back off. And so that's why we want to mention that, you know, with our luck, there's going to be something announced, you know, Thursday that like, hey, you know, you can start hosting premier challenges with 30 people at local events or whatever. And like everybody mask up and stuff. And we're going to be like, oh, well, all right, we're recording next week.
Yep, we're back.
Or, you know, they might not say anything for months. We might have to wait until after the global exhibition for them to say, all right, now with that done, you know, in November, here's the new format. And that format is going to be able to be played at live events, blah, blah, blah. Or maybe we don't get anything till the next calendar year, 2022. Like, we don't want to be gone for that long. But if there's nothing of an official capacity, there's just not going to be enough to talk about.
Right. And along all those lines is like just the current timeline with the future Pokemon events coming up. We know we have that global exhibition in October. We have Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl coming in November. We have Legends Arceus coming in January. Again, that Legends Arceus game, maybe not so relevant for competitive, but maybe just interested into Pokemon might help for the competitive scene. Anyway, we, at this moment in time, and at this time of this recording, We do not know when we are going to return, and we do just want to clarify. Season 5 will be coming at some point. This is not us saying goodbye to all of you, saying that we're ending the show. We are waiting for Season 5. We are ready to start Season 5. This is just a really busy time for me in terms of my like work schedule. And in terms of like the incentive, both Alex and I don't have much of it to be playing right now. And I think this break ultimately will work better for the both of us in the long run. So Season 5 is coming at some point. We don't know when. Like Alex mentioned, we could just be back next week, which would be great. But we just do not know at this point. And we're kind of just waiting on something more from Pokemon, whether even if it's like a circuit returning in more of an online fashion that's different from Players Cup. Maybe we'll even get Players Cup 5 or some sort of live circuit back. I don't know yet. But this is all just brought on by COVID. You know, I'm still surprised we managed to do this whole season online. Because of COVID, this whole season 4 in the online era. And Alex, something that just dawned on me is that this was a season we did not do any Roar of Times, which, as you know, I love the history of this game. And that is obviously more content we need to tap into for next season when we return, because we need to cover the stories, that history, to just catch up to modern times and make sure we get to say our pieces on everything we have experienced through the years.
Yeah, that's true. There's still several years for us to cover at some point. Those ones just always take a bit more research, as well as coordination with the guests of old. You know, sometimes there are players that aren't even playing anymore. And I gotta say, like, VGC interest probably at an all-time low, Steven. You know, between there being no Players Cup 5, you know, I think that was a kind of like a huge blow to competitive Pokemon in general. You know, as I had said several times over during the podcast already, this episode specifically, there's no official Pokemon to be played on Series 10 right now, and that's really what drives like a lot of people. I am definitely one of those people, and I have played in plenty of grassroots tournaments over the, you know, the pandemic, and I've had my fun. But, you know, I've got like other interests right now. I'm playing a lot of Unite and Series 10, a fine format, but, you know, something that like those, you know, those Rose Towers, those grassroots tournaments that were driving me to play, was I was practicing for the official ish circuit. You know, I mean, just Players Cup, you know, that's all we've had for the past year. But still, Players Cup was something to get me motivated. You know, I want to get all the way up on the big stream. I want to, you know, there's cool prizes there. There's a lot of, like, glory to be won. There's, you know, on top of that, other tournaments to, you know, earn invitation to. The Global Exhibition, the 25th Invitational, as we had, you know, didn't know at the time, but, you know, eventually learned later. There was just, like, so much on the line in those tournaments that it made them exciting to compete for. Right now, there's nothing. There's just so much nothing for Series 10 that I have not even, like, touched the format in well over a month. And even now that it's live, I mean, there was nothing to pull me in. There's no official tournaments, so that's just, I'm just going to leave it at that.
Yeah, I think the big take-home point is that the incentive has to be there for all these players to keep playing, you know, especially for, you know, the ultimate end goal, trying to get to qualify into the World Championships or win some of those official tournaments from Pokemon, is you want to just practice for them. And I just want to say that I do, as always, really appreciate all the things that the grassroots organizers, websites, and hosts have done for the scene over this last year plus in COVID. So it's we understand how much work it is and that you've been doing a great job for it. But in terms of incentive, there's only so much you can do when competing with the old circuit of the old official circuit we used to have. Who knows how that'll return? But yeah, that incentive's got to be there. And I'm just really hoping that we get, I really hope we just get something that will bring us back to the show, Alex, because we've talked about this before. We both love being here on the show, getting to speak our minds for however long it is. Usually, you know, usually around an hour we try to keep the shows to, but you know, I still love doing this show. It's just right now it's all about the incentive and how much time we have available to us.
Steven and I have really, really, and I hope it hasn't been too evident to you guys listening, but we have really, really gotten better at stretching topics over the course of the pandemic because of how little there has been going on. And, you know, I think Steven and I do a decent job, but in terms of, like, the amount of content we have, you know, week by week, it just kept getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And, you know, some of those episodes were shorter. We weren't afraid to cut them short if, you know, there really wasn't anything. And we're not going to just fill time for the sake of it. I know that, you know, a lot of you might prefer that we fill the full hour or whatever just talking, just because, you know, you want that full hour. But if there's nothing to say, we're not going to, you know, milk it for all there is. And we've been doing that for far too long.
Yeah, already right now I can tell. So that's that. You know, season 4 ending right here, this episode. Season 5 on the way at an undisclosed, unknown, really, point in time. So we'll see when that happens. I'm wishing us all the best going forward.
I'm just saying, like, you know, if they, like, everybody just needs to hope that there's some kind of announcement this Thursday, and then our whole episode looks stupid. And you know what? Steven and I are prepared for that. We're not against it, you know? Like, we're trying to say that if they go ahead and this Thursday say the whole thing's coming back, which probably wouldn't be a good idea, but, you know, whatever. If they do some kind of announcement like that, if they announce, like, something huge, you know, we will be right back.
That's right. We're just waiting for that announcement. And yeah, I told Alex before the show, like, hey, I'm going to be super busy these next few months, but if we get that something from official Pokemon about the competitive play, then hey man, I'm ready for it. I'm ready to jump back in. Let's do it.
Yep.
Like, I don't know when it's going to happen, but I'm very excited for when season 5 comes. So, Alex, I think that's a wrap to finish out this show in season 4. What do you say we head on out of here?
That sounds all right by me.
Awesome. Well, folks, that's it for this episode. And at least this time, in very big contrast to our very first season of the show, and we just disappeared for almost 2 years, at least we're letting you know this time what's going on here. So we're going to be coming back for season 5 at some point. Again, unknown time. But you can send your comments, questions, and feedback to our email, vgchypervoice@gmail.com. You can tell your friends about this show if they're interested in a show about competitive Pokemon. You can also find our show in a bunch of different podcasting platforms. We're all over the place. Some of the highlight ones being Apple Podcasts or iTunes, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Remember to leave us a review in some of those places or subscribe. It really helps with visibility so that others can discover the show. And remember that you can find the show on Facebook and on Twitter at The Hyper Voice. Lastly, you can follow the two of us personally on Twitter as well. You can follow me at Super Morioka. And Alex, where can people follow you?
You can follow me at LexiconVGC.
Awesome. Seriously, thank you, the listeners, so much for listening to the show this season and for all your continued support. It really means a lot, and we appreciate that. So stay tuned for more of The Hyper Voice.
Aloha.